Exactly. In other words, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's diak is that we call it Kaddish Urchatz, that Kaddish and Urchatz are connected, meaning to say that Rachtza is washing Me'ikar Hadin. Kaddish Urchatz, you're washing at the beginning of the Seder, only as a matter of additional Kedusha. Washing at the beginning of the Seder is not a full-fledged requirement, it's only for additional Kedusha, and Memela, if it's only for additional Kedusha, someone can argue that even if a person had in mind to guard his hands the entire time, it doesn't really help. Because that first Netilas Yadayim is not a Netilas Yadayim Shal Mitzvah. That first Netilas Yadayim is Stamazoi for Tosefes Kedusha, and something that I do for Tosefes Kedusha won't help for a mitzvah. This would be against the Shibbolei Halakha, that the Biur Halacha quotes, that if a person guarded his hands or her hands the entire time, so then the person does not have to make a bracha at Rachtza, according to this idea of Kaddish Urchatz, that the original Netila is not Me'ikar Hadin, saying you'd have to make a bracha at Rachtza no matter what. Ben, it seems like you have, like you're preparing to say something. Is that correct?
I was going to in the morning in because the Torah we say really in Kudavim Ubnus Chasadim, but it turns out that there's above everything there. So I was trying to take away that diuk, but
okay,
that's Raya.
Right. In other words, the diuk I think is even if in other areas of halacha we might have above all the time or not. But l'chala pachos, by this area of halacha, we only have the vav by urchatz, and that indicates that urchatz is an inyan of kedusha. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach noted. Actually, that leads us to three possibilities in the inyan of urchatz. No, urchatz could be just kedei sheyishalu atinokos, which is washing only so that people ask a question. If that's the case, we noted the Yekesha Minhag of only having the Baal HaBayis wash makes a lot of sense. Urchatz could be of Me'ikar Hadin washing because of Davar Shetibula B'Mashke, excuse me, that requires Netilas Yadayim. And the third possibility is that Urchatz is an Ingin of Kedusha. If it's an inyan of Kedusha, so then L'cha'ora, well, everyone should do it, but it doesn't get a bracha because it's not really Me'ikar Hadin. I think that's the three approaches to Urchatz. The Rachtza, nonetheless, is Me'ikar Hadin. Let's go on. So you wash your hands, you make the bracha on Tias Yadayim. V'yikach ha-matzos k'dei der she-hinicham ha-prusa b'in sh'tei ha-shleimois v'yoksein b'yachad v'yoksein b'yodom v'yivorech ha-motzi v'al achilas matzah v'achar kach yivtza me-ha-shleimo ha-olyona me-ha-prusa m'shtein yachad v'yitbaleim b'melach. The Rama writes that our minig is that we don't put the matzah in salt. The Rama writes only Belailah HaRishona, but the Mishnah Berurah adds it's both nights. Okay, so basically what you do is you have three matzahs. You pick up all three. You make hamotzi on all three. Then I would say you drop the bottom one. However, if you drop the matzah, it breaks. We don't want to break the matzah. So you put that bottom matzah down, and after you put that bottom matzah down, so then what you do is that you, after you put the bottom matzah down, so then what you do is you make alachilas matzah on the top two matzos. Now, effectively, the pashta says that the alachilas matzah is only going on the middle matzah, and the hamotzi is going on the top matzah and the bottom matzah. That's the pashtas. However, the Mishnah Berurah over here quotes, and this seems to be the standard approach in Judaism, that there is a question in Rishonim. Maybe Alachilas Matzah is going on the top matzah, and the Hamotzi is going on the middle matzah. Again, the Pashta says that Alachilas Matzah is going on the Lachamoni. The Lachamoni is the Darko Sha'ani Beprusa, the broken matzah. That's the Pashtus. However, there's a school of thought among the Rishonim that the complete matzah is the mitzvah of Al-Achilas matzah, and the broken matzah is the Hamotzi. That's the other school of thought. In order to be Yotzi both, that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should eat two kizeisa. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But this machlokes, here, guys, just hold 1 second.
Do you have a beard trimmer?
Yes, in there.
Thank you.
Here, left side, right, in there. Now, just one second, Chava, I'm not able to take you at 1:30 just because Yosef Dov has his speech and then they have a 2 o'clock meeting or whatever.
Okay, that's fine.
So now, the Mechaber writes that Leo has said there, I dip my matzah in salt. Now that makes a lot of sense because all year long I dip my matzah in salt whenever I dip my challah in salt. The reason why you dip your challah in salt is because of two reasons. There is the halachic reason that we're worried that your bread might not be good bread, and if your bread is not good bread, it might damage you, it might hurt you, and putting salt on is a way of solving that problem, that you won't be damaged. Alternatively, the salt is put on the bread throughout the year, so that you're mekayim the pasuk of Al-Kol Karboncha Takriv Melach. We treat our table like it's a mizbeach, and just like karbanos are brought on the mizbeach, and karbanos have to have salt on them, so throughout the year the bread has salt. The Pashtus is that Leil HaSeder, I'm not worried about, Leil HaSeder, I'm not worried that my bread is going to be some sort of dirty bread, and therefore I need to dip the bread in salt to remove any germs, bacteria, maybe now with coronavirus, Rachman Letzlan, maybe we should dip it in salt also. The Pashtus is that our bread, our matzah, Leil HaSeder, certainly is clean and there's no inyan to dip it in salt. Nonetheless, I would argue that the reason why the Mechaber says I dip it in salt and Rambam says I don't, again, and this is Judaism according to Schwartz, the Mishnah Berurah has a different take, but Judaism according to Schwartz would say that the Mechaber is more choshesh for inyanim in Kabbalah than the Rambam is, no? Many poskim say that we only keep in yonim of Kabbalah once we're in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, we don't do Kabbalah stuff. It's entirely possible, again, this is a suggestion, I'm not convinced that this is correct, but it's possible that for the Mechaber, I dip the matzah in salt because the Mechaber is choshesh for in yonim of Kabbalah. The halachic reason for sure doesn't apply. The Ramah says, no, Kabbalah, right? We're not worried about Kabbalah. Therefore, for the Ramah, we don't dip the bread in salt. That's what I would say. The Mishnah Berurah has a different take, however. And if you look in the Shibbalei Haleket, he says it this second way, the Mishnah Berurah's way, which is, Leil HaSeder, I'm supposed to have lechem oni. A poor person can't even afford salt. It's more lechem oni if you don't have salt on it than if you do have salt on it. That seems to be the approach of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Hanir Lafi in the Estate is that this does not make sense, no? The Mishnah writes, that a person should eat pas b'melach tochal. I don't know if anyone could not afford salt. No? The first sugya in Brachos writes that the zman of Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis is when the oni goes lechol pito b'melach. No, look it up. Brachos Taf Beis, right? Lechol pito b'melach. I think poor people also eat salt. So the Mishnah Berurah's argument here in Se'if Katan Dalet, is that we don't have salt in order to be mekayim more lechem oni, it's tfei nira lechem oni, when it's not in salt, I do not understand that. It seems to me that the better reason is that the Ramah doesn't care about Kabbalah, and the Mechaber does care about Kabbalah. Horaya, in Yerideya Simin Peites, we have the din of Hamtana bein Basar Lechalav, no? That between meat and milk you have to wait. How long do you wait? Mechaber says 6 hours. Ramah says 1 hour. What's the source of the Mechaber to wait 6 hours? He writes Zohar. Mechaber is much more into Kabbalah. The Ramah is much less into Kabbalah. I have like 5 or 6 indications of this in Judaism. Again, this is the religion according to me. I don't know if I'm right. What do you think about this, Chevra? Does this sound correct or not? Is it possible that the reason for the Mechaber having salt is because of Kabbalah? For the Ramah, he's not Cheshish for Kabbalah. Tachner Lofian Yisdaiti. And I would argue that being Cheshish for Kabbalah isn't a fundamental... The Ramah was into Kabbalah, no? The Ramah wrote a whole Sefer on Kabbalah. But the Inyanim of Kabbalah are more applied in Eretz Yisrael than they are in Chutz La'aretz. Tachner Lofian Yisdaiti is the Pshat Mechaber Ramah. Is that worth a thumbs up, at least?
I like the Mishnah Berurah better.
You like the Mishnah Berurah better? You think that poor... You know what? I'm going to give myself a thumbs up because I like it. But...
It's Yafa.
Right, this is Anova. Right, this is Mamish Anova. You like the Mishnah Berurah better, even though poor people ate salt. Even though it's clear from the Gemara that poor people had salt.
I'm not sure how to understand the Gemara Brachos, but I know historically salt was considered expensive. The Roman soldiers used to be paid in salt because it was expensive.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure I could tell you.
You're saying that salt really was expensive?
Yeah.
Don't know.
So in Hanami now it's cheap, but there's some association with being rich.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe. Again, I think there's another mahalach that we could say about the salt and no salt, which relates to, you know, in Kabbalah sources, they quote, you know, I'm over 40 now, I'm allowed to talk about this stuff. In Kabbalah sources, they say that throughout the year, we eat regular bread. Regular bread rises. Because throughout the year, we have a degree of gaiva. Leil HaSeder, we're not supposed to have any gaiva. Leil HaSeder, we recognize that aniv lo malach, aniv lo saraf, everything is up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have nothing to do with leaving Mitzrayim. It all happened by God. That's complete anova. Hence, the bread does not rise. So perhaps the idea of not having salt is that it emphasizes more of the anova aspect. Again, I don't know if this is correct, but it seems to me like this is a possibility. Okay, so you're spending a lot of time on salt. I have my pshat based on Kabbalah. Let's go on. The Mechaber writes that you have a kezayis from each of the matzahs. And the standard approach in Judaism, the Mishnah Berurah writes, kezayis from each of the matzahs, because we don't know whether the mitzvah of achilas matzah is on the broken matzah, or if it is on the non-broken matzah, so therefore you eat both. That is standard Judaism. I don't understand this kihuza. Because, who cares? No, who cares whether the mitzvah of achilas matzah is on the broken one or not l'maisa? Am I fulfilling the mitzvah of achilas matzah whether I eat from the broken one or whether I don't? Of course you are. And because of this suffix among the Rishonim, I should eat 2 kezesim. It's mamish. I understand some of the Rishonim say, the Ran has him psachim, that when you have a suffix and it's very easy to resolve, so you may as well resolve it. So I'm not sure. Do I do Haseba, the first 2 kosos, or the last 2 kosos? Haseba, the Ran says, is very easy. Do Haseba at all 4 kosos. But over here, to say that I have a kezayis from each of the matzah, that's difficult. That's not easy. So why is it that I eat 2 kezesim leil haseder? To say that's because I'm not sure which matzah it's from, even though that's the official reason it's given. That it's difficult to eat two kazesim, and therefore, because of this type of suffix, I don't know if, we should eat two kazesim. So, it seems to me that the better mahalach, and Rav Shechter has this in his sefer, the better mahalach as to why we eat two kazesim is because I have two separate mitzvahs, Leil HaSeder. I have one mitzvah called Achilas Matzah. I have another mitzvah called Simchas Yom Tov. I eat two kazesim to be mekayim, the two mitzvahs. I need one kazayis for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, another kazayis for the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. That's why I have two separate kazesim. That seems to be the better mahalach, to my mind. Now, what are some of the nafkaminas between the two mahalachim? Again, the Mishnah Berurah's approach is I need two kezesim and achilas matzah because I'm not sure which matzah is the real matzah. Right? It's almost like, will the real matzah stand up? Quite honestly, if matzah ever stands up, run! Run for your lives! The matzah is taking over the planet! Run for your life! So I don't like the approach of the Mishnah Berurah that we're not sure which matzah is the real matzah. Rather, I prefer this approach that the mitzvah of that Leil HaSeder have two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is Simcha of Seudas Yom Tov, another mitzvah of Al Achilas Matzah. L'may nafkamina. So I can think of two nafkaminas. Ready? Do you have to do Haseba on both Kazesim and Matzah? Or, right, to say it better, let's say Bidi Eved, you did not do Haseba, both Kazesim and Matzah, do you have to eat Matzah again? The Mishnah Berurah writes that you have to do Haseba, both Kazesim and Matzah, and the Pashtus is that if you ate Matzah without Haseba, you have to eat it again. So therefore, if either Kazayis of Matzah was lacking in Haseba, you have to eat it again. That's the Pashtus in the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Ramo writes, if you hold that that we're eating two kazesim to be in the midst of Seudas Yom Tov, so Seudas Yom Tov, although the Ramo writes in Tov Ayim Beis that l'chatchila I should do Haseba the entire meal, but that's only a din l'chatchila. I'm not going to be ma'akev. I'm not going to have to do Haseba again if I ate one of the kazesim without Haseba. So that is what it seems to me. It seems to me that according to the Rama, that it's only l'chatchila that you do Haseba kol ha'seuda. According to our pshat, that the two kazesim, one kazais is for seuda. So therefore, l'chatchila you do Haseba. But b'di'evet, no Haseba, obviously you don't eat it again. Kach nira l'fiyan yistaiti. Another nafkamina. You know, we're supposed to have two kazesim, because I'm not sure which matzah is the real matzah. Well, here's the problem. Our matzos are not big enough for two kazesim. Meaning, I might be able to get a kazayis from the broken matzah, and maybe I could get two kazesim from the top matzah. But let's say I'm sitting at a seder, and I have 5, 6, 7, 10 people with me. There's no way that all 10 people are going to be able to get a kazayis from the matzahs. So what do you do in that case? So, the Moshe Feinstein writes that you should have matzahs for everyone at the Seder. Did anyone ever see this practice? Gershon, did you ever see such a practice? That everyone at the Seder has matzahs in front of them?
I've only ever been to one place for Siddharim, but quite experience.
Right, but did everyone have a matzah in front of them at that one place where you've ever been?
We had matzahs every 3 or 4 people, but not in front of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Ramosha finds it right that everyone at the Seder should have their own matzahs in front of them to be mekayim this inyan. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashav say, come on. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashav say that in the situation that there are so many people at the Seder that there's not going to be enough for a kazayis for everyone at the Seder, So therefore, everyone eats only one kezayis. The whole inyan of eating two kezayisim is only to get something from the middle matzah, something from the top matzah. In the case where everyone is at the seder together, you only have one ka'ara with three matzahs, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Rebbe Yashiv. And therefore, the Baal Habayis eats two kezesim to be mekayim this inyan, that I'm not sure which matzah is the real matzah. But everyone else at the seder only eats one kezayis. This, by the way, is like a radical kula in Judaism, no? You could only eat one kezayis. Maybe that's the pshat. Hashamish sha'acho kezayis is yotzah, because the shamish doesn't have his own matzos. And according to Rebbe Yashiv and Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, unless you're leading the seder, you don't need to eat two kezesim. Okay. It would seem, however, that if Rav Shechter's Mahalach is correct, that the reason for two kezesim is because one for Seudas Yom Tov and the other for Achilas Matzah. So Memela, I need everyone at the meal needs two kezesim. The whole approach of Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rebbe Yashiv, that everyone at the meal does not need two kezesim, is not correct. Is not correct, because everyone at the meal would need two kezesim to be mekayim seudas yom tov and the mitzvah of al achilas matzah. That's one nafkamina. Or that's actually two. So that's the second nafkamina. One nafkamina is heseba. The second nafkamina is whether every person needs to have two kezesim in front of them. Let's go on. How do you go about dividing the matzah? Let's say one person has the matzah in front of him. I think that's normal Judaism, against Rav Moshe. One person has the three matzahs. Usually, it's preferred to eat a little bit of the challah before you distribute to everyone else, because of a hefsek. Certainly, Leil HaSeder, where you're going to give matzah to everybody, and it could be a long time until you get to eating the matzah yourself, because the one who's leading the seder is dividing up matzah to everyone and is measuring the size of a kezayis. So therein, it would be very difficult to wait until after all the matzah is divided up. And the pashtus is that the Baal HaBayis should take a tiny bit of the matzah in front of him and then divvy up the matzah to everyone else. And in that way, there's not going to be a hafsek. Again, I have never seen this done, but it would seem that that is the preferred way. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes that since we're not sure which mitzvah, I'll give you another nafkamina. I'm sorry, I skipped the third nafkamina. Again, I have my mahalach, Rav Shechter's mahalach, of that's a din in Seudas Yom Tov. I have the other mahach, I'm not sure which one is the real mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So the nafkamina, which I think is the most difficult of all, is the Mishnah Berurah writes that what you should do is you should put both kezesim in your mouth at one time, and then, ideally, you should swallow both of them together, but that's difficult for most people. So b'di'evah, you put two kezesim in your mouth at one time, you chew it, you chew it, you chew it, it's mamish like ma'ale geira, no? It looks awful. Right, you put both kezesim in your mouth, you chew it, and then you swallow one kezayis at a time. You're putting both of them in your mouth because you're not sure which one is the real mitzvah achilas matzah. The middle matzah, the top matzah, so put them both in your mouth at the same time. It would seem, however, that if what Rav Shechter is saying is correct, that the reason you have two kezesim is one for Seudas Yom Tov and one for the mitzvah achilas matzah, so there's zero inyan of putting them both in your mouth at the same time. Can you still hear me, Chevra? There's zero inyan. Right, the reason why I put them both in my mouth at the same time is because I want to be mekayim the mitzvah achilas matzah. I'm not sure which matzah is the proper matzah, so therefore I put them both in my same mouth at the same time to be yotzei. But according to our approach, there's no inyan to put them both in your mouth at the same time, because they're two separate and discrete mitzvos. One mitzvah is matzah, the other mitzvah is Seudas Yom Tov, So first you do the mitzvah of matzah, it's a day raisa. That goes ahead of the mitzvah of seudas yom tov, and then you do the mitzvah of seudas yom tov after. It also should relate to what kavana you have, etc. These are some of the nafkaminas I would suggest between the two mahalchim. Okay. Let's go on.
What do we do practically?
So I think the approach of eating, of putting both kezesim of matzah in your mouth, and being a ma'al geira, I think that is shalom kederach achila, and they have a suffix whether you yotze on the level of derais if you eat it that way. It's not a normal way to eat. And certainly, it's not enjoyable. The mitzvah of achilas matzah is the one mitzvah. You know, Bisman HaMikdash used to have a lot of mitzvahs that they did that involved achila. They would eat karbanos, etc. We don't have any mitzvahs of achila throughout the year, which are derayisa, besides the mitzvah of achilas matzah. You should enjoy the mitzvah. To put both kezesim in your mouth, my friend Chaim Seyman wrote an article about this in the Jewish Review of Books a couple of years back. To put both kezesim and matzah in your mouth at the same time is really haner lafi nistaiti. It's not a proper way to do it because it's not the normal way to eat. It makes the mitzvah achilas matzah a tedium, a chore, rather than something that's enjoyable, and consequently you should not do that. I think you should eat one alachilas matzah, then the second one. By the way, for Seudas Yom Tov, by the way, according to my approach also, the issue, according to Rav Shapter's approach, the size of the kezias is also different, no? The mitzvah achilas matzah, at least the first night of Yom Tov, is a doiraisa. Because it's doiraisa, so therefore I should have a larger kezias, no? The mitzvah of Seudas Yom Tov is a drabonon, so I can rely on the smaller share of kezias. And Simon Tuf Pei Vov, they give you the whole size of a kezias, etc. Do you include the pit? Not include the pit. Do you hold like the tzlach that our eggs got smaller? Right. This is all the discussion. It would seem l'chala pachos at the first night of Yontiv that the mitzvah of alchilas matzah is a deraisa, so she has a larger kezias for that mitzvah. But for Seudas Yom Tov, I should not use, I do not need such a large kezias. Kach nir lafi an yistaiti. Okay, whatever. Now, for many people, eating kezias matzah is very difficult. Some poskim say that what you can do is you could dip the matzah in water, which makes it softer and therefore easier to eat. However, there is a practice called gebruks. Do any of you have this practice of gebruks? Or not eating gebruks? You do, because you come from some chassidus shastak, because you're awesome, right? Right? That's worth like two thumbs up. No, both Sisko and Ebert. The Kayimash and Nemar. I also, my family practices, we don't eat gebruks. The minig of not eating gebruks would l'cha'oira mean that you should not dip your matzah in water to make it easier to eat, because that would be gebruks. So, if you don't hold of gebruks, you could dip it in water. If you do hold of gebruks, so then, if it's difficult to eat matzah, so what do? So you... Again? Did you say something that I missed?
He did, but he
disconnected. So, if you dip it, wait 18 minutes before you eat it. Presumably, if you're dipping it and eating it...
So one approach is that you just dip it and you eat it, and it doesn't become chametz because it's not 18 minutes. I think that's what you're suggesting, correct? There's no concern because it's no 18 minutes. However, okay, the meaning of gebruks is that we're worried that if you stick matzah into water, it might become chametz. That's the basic inyan of gebruks.
So it's a chashash of real
chametz. Now, what's the chashash of real chametz by gebruks? The Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch has tshuvas at the end, and one of his tshuvas he explains that the minig of gebruks is because in the matzah bakeries they used to have a lot of flour. Today in our matzah bakeries we have like one room where they mix the flour with the water, and the other rooms where they knead it and they put it in the oven, etc. So the flour is not really flying through the air. But the Alter Rebbe writes in the tshuva, in the old matzah bakeries, where the flour would fly through the air, So memela, there's a concern there's going to be some flour that got caught on your matzah after the matzah is baked. And then you'll put it in the water, it could become chametz. But what Gershon is noting is that that could only become chametz after 18 minutes. However, some of the later poskim, there's a nice article in the Or Yisrael journal a few years ago about the meaning of gebrux. Later generations, they had a different reason for the meaning of gebrux, which is that they were worried that the matzah wouldn't bake through and through. And therefore, if you have something that's partially baked in the middle, so you would potentially that would become chametz. And because it partially baked already, it might become chametz in less than 18 minutes as well. Now, this concern of not baking through and through led to two different minhagim among Jews. This is what Rabbi Oberlander writes in the Or Yisrael journal. I actually think this is really interesting, and he traces it based on location. In some places, they started having very thin matzos. Because if you have very thin matzos, there's no concern that it doesn't bake through and through. It's super thin. What could happen? The minhag of gebrux developed in those communities where they would, where they had thicker matzos. Like a matzo would be like a pita. And then if a matzo is like a pita, then you have to worry. Maybe it's not baking through and through. So then they were nervous about gebrux. Our practice is super duper chumraland, which isn't really appropriate, no? What we do is we have very thin matzos and we don't have gebrux. That l'chaira doesn't seem proper. Nonetheless, the minig of gebrux developed. Now, if you don't hold of gebrux, so then it's you can make eating matzah easier by putting it in water. If you do hold a gebrux, the only way you can make it easier is that you grind your matzah into like matzah meal and you eat matzah meal with a spoon. That happens to be, I think, harder to eat matzah that way. It's like more difficult to eat like a floury substance than to eat matzah. Someone who has difficulty eating matzah, I think the pashtus is that what the person should do is have a small shear of a kezias. We pointed out that according to Rabbi Willig, a kezias is really the equivalent of 1/10 of a machine matzah, which is really quite small. If that's a shear of kezias, then life is kind of amazing. That's a mitzvah of achilas. So there's we pass it in this ain tochen achar tochen. That's correct. So therefore, grinding the matzah up is not going to be a problem. If anything, this is not only ain tochen achar tochen. This is when you do the same thing again. Over here, the second grinding is much more coarse than the first grinding. It's much less of a proper grinding. So as such, I think ain tochen achar tochen would certainly not apply because I'm not doing the same activity again. The second activity is shvacher, is worse than the original activity.
So it's not, you're saying it's not tochen bechlal?
No, I'm saying that's the type of thing that we would certainly apply in tochen achar tochen. That's what I'm saying.
In tochen achar tochen only applies when it's the worst form of tochen.
No, the whole question that maybe we might not say in tochen achar tochen is only when it's the second grinding is an improvement. Again, we pass in the halacha in tochen achar tochen. But even were we to pass in that yesh tochen achar tochen, that would only be when the second grinding is somehow an improvement over the first one. If it's not an improvement over the first one, I think it's a davar pasha that we would say in tochen achar tochen. Did it seem like I saw that your screen went yellow before, which usually means that you had a comment. Did you have a comment, Mr. Gershon?
I didn't know.
Did not. Okay. Let's go weiter. The matzah you eat straight. The maror you should put in charoses. The Gemara says the reason why we put the maror in charoses is because of kafa. Kafa is like some sort of bug that could be damaging to us. So therefore, we put the maror in the charoses to get rid of that bug, that kafa. Okay, great. Now here's the problem. All year long, right, we spoke about how the preferred item to use for maror is lettuce. I don't know about you, but I eat lettuce throughout the year. And throughout the year, I eat my lettuce, and I don't dip my lettuce into charoses. And I don't die of this terrible kafa. I don't get injured from the kafa. So how come Leo HaSeder, I put the murder in the charoses, because I'm worried about the kafa, if I'm not worried about the kafa all year long? That's a good question, it seems to me. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying that, you know what? All year long, you don't have to eat lettuce. If you decide to eat lettuce and you are risking kafa, so, ihu da'avzer anavshei, you're messing stuff up for yourself. You're risking the kafa. So therefore, that's your choice. But Leo HaSeder, where you have to eat murra, you have to eat lettuce. So therefore, there is more of a concern of the kafa. Now, that I think is the halacha. It's interesting to note, by the way, that we eat murra without haseba. The Mishnah Berurah notes that if someone wants to eat it with haseba, the person can. I don't know exactly why that would be true. How come you can eat murra with haseba? Unless the pshat is something that we've discussed, that maybe our murra is not fully bitter. The idea of murra is something that will become bitter later on, especially if it's lettuce. If you leave it in the ground long enough, it will become bitter. Right now it's not bitter, because right now it's not bitter, so therefore maybe a person can decide to eat murra without haseba. Excuse me, a person can decide to eat murra with haseba. Excuse me. That l'cha'ira is what emerges. Now, seems to me like this. Since you could eat maror with haseba, if you so desire, it's rashai, the Mishnah Berurah writes. So therefore it's a davar pashut that by korech, you eat korech with haseba. No? There's actually two opinions in the poskim. Do you do korech with haseba or korech without haseba? The Mechaber writes that you should do korech with haseba. That's what the Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Katin Chaf Gimel says. But there are some people who don't have haseba by the koreich. The Pashtus is that you should definitely have haseba. Because since even for Murar, if you'd want to do haseba, you can. So koreich isn't such a stira. That's l'cha'ora l'halacha. Now, when I dip my Murar in the charoses, I have to shake it off after, because I'm not eating charoses, I'm just eating the murra. And the charoses there just to kill the kafa. So that's what I should do. Do you put charoses in korech? What's your minhag, chevra? Charoses in korech or not charoses in korech?
In korech.
What?
Yes.
Right, so that's the way my father does it. That you put charoses in the korech. Most poskim, however, say you don't put charoses in the korech. Because the idea of the idea of charoses is just to kill the kafa. And the matzah itself will kill the kafa. I don't need charoses separately to kill the kafa on the murar, because in korech I have matzah that kills the kafa.
We should do some tests and see if this actually does anything.
No one has any idea what kafa is. Like, I don't know exactly what you'd be testing. I'm happy to test stuff know what I'm testing. But since I have no idea what I'm testing, so therefore I'm not so into doing the test. That's what I would say. Okay.
So they don't understand what we're doing then.
We are following the din in the Gemara, which is that we dip murar in charoses to kill the kafa. The korech, you don't have to dip in the charoses because the matzah will kill the kafa. I don't need the charoses to kill the kafa. Those, I think, who put charoses in their korech is for a different reason. We noted that the Tanna, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, felt that eating charoses was a mitzvah. Since eating charoses is a mitzvah, and the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, according to one version of the Perish HaMishnah, in the Rav Kafach, Perish HaMishnah, he always points out where the Rambam changed his mind. This is one of those situations where the Rambam changed his mind. But originally the Rambam felt that we pass him like Reb Elazar ben Tzadok. If I pass like Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, so then I need to eat a kezayis of charoses. It could be that putting the charoses in was an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of charoses. By the way, I shouldn't know. I think I spoke wrong beforehand. The Mechaber writes that I put the korech in charoses. The Rama says that the meaning is that we don't do it. However, the Mishnah Berurah says if cutting your test says that the ikar is like the day of Rishona, which is that you do put charoses in. It seems to me that the reason to put the charoses in is to be mekayim Reb Elazar ben Tzadok more than to kill the kafas, because our kafas are being killed with the matzah. That's what I'm trying to say. Now the Mechaber writes that when I'm about to eat korech, what I do is I say zecher lemikdash kehillel. The Mishnah Berurah has a question. Mishnah Berurah says, how do you say zecher lemikdash kehillel? We have a din that I'm not supposed to be mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. I'm not sure what is the real mitzvah of matzah and maror. Is hillel right or is hillel not right? Should you eat them together or not eat them together? So therefore, what I should do is not be mafsik at all. And if I'm not supposed to be mafsik at all, so therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says you should not say the zecher lemikdash kehillel at all. The Mishnah Berurah writes over here, look at what I wrote in the Bir Halacha. And in the Bir Halacha he says, maybe don't say zecher lemikdash kehillel at all because of the hefsik between the alachilas matzah, the alachilas maror, and the korech. Rather, the Mishnah Berurah says I should say zecher lemikdash kehillel after I ate the korech. This is not mainstream Judaism, no? In all the Haggadahs you have zecher lemikdash kehillel. Did you ever see this, Ben? That someone does not say zecher lemikdash kehillel until after they eat korech?
I don't think so.
I never saw it. I don't think anyone ever saw it.
The Seder where they give everyone a matzah. I have not seen...
Right, you've never seen that people don't say zecher lemikdash kehillel. I agree with that. I think everyone says zecher lemikdash kehillel. Chacham Avadi Yosef, zechusa yogin aleinu, zecher tzadik levracha l'chaya olam haba. Chacham Avadia writes that even according to Hillel, it's a Truvin Yechavadas, even according to Hillel, Bidi Eveg, you're Mekayim, the mitzvah of matzah and maror separately. Lechat Chila, I'm supposed to put them together according to Hillel. But Bidi Eved, I'm Yotze. So once I'm Yotze Bidi Eved, there's no concern of Hefsek. Moreover, I'll say a better Chiddush. If you're really worried about Hefsek, so this is, right, if any of you are into the Chumrah of the Week Club, this is this week's Chumrah of the Week. Not only is it the Chumrah of the Week, it's the Chumrah of the Month. Not only the Chumrah of the Month, I'd say it's the Chumrah of the 6 months. The Chumrah of the 6 months is that you should not speak at all during Shulchan Orech, because maybe the real mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is going on the Afikomen at the end of the Seder. And the mitzvah achilas matzah is going on the afikomen at the end of the Seder, so I have to say that the bracha of al achilas matzah is connected to that afikomen, and therefore I should not speak at all throughout the Seder. Did anyone ever say that? See that? This is chumrah of the week, chumrah of the month, and you want to up it one ante, do chumrah of the year? You know, the Vilna Gaon is quoted in the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this in two places. The Vilna Gaon writes that a person eats matzah all 7 days of Pesach, and there's a mitzvah kiyumis. The person gets points for the mitzvah achilas matzah whenever you eat matzah throughout the Shivas Yimei HaPesach. The Achrayim have a discussion if there's a real mitzvah of al achilas matzah all 7 days of Pesach, right? Which is, by the way, the Pashtus in the Pasuk, Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. If that's the case, if there's a real mitzvah of al achilas matzah, so how can you not make a bracha all 7 days of Pesach? So some of the Achrayim say, no, that's not a problem. Because you make a bracha at the beginning of Yontiv on al achilas matzah, and that's going to carry through all 7 days. Ready? You're getting where I'm going. Don't speak the whole Yontif of Pesach. Morai Rabotai. Right? This is the biggest chumrah of the year. Not to speak all Yontif of Pesach, because if you hold like the Gra, you have to be worried that maybe there's a kiyum mitzvah of eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach, etc. I think the pashtus is that we say Zeichel Lemikdash Kehillel, we do speak during the Seuda, all these things. Okay, Chevra. Any further comments? This is what I wanted to get to in Siman Tov Ayin Hei Se'if Aleph. You should have a blessed, marvelous, wonderful day. And we should be Zeichel L'Kayim HaShenemar. I don't know. Al Matzah Somrem Yochluhu, that we should be Zocha to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Matzah properly, the Mitzvah Morah properly, all the mitzvahs. And Mirz Hashem, tomorrow is like a regular day of Shir, as far as I know. Okay, Chevra?
Okay.
Okay. Have a excellent day. Okay, Yashikai, thank you.